So it's good to be here. I've also, the last month or so, I've had my head in the sand, or well, the snow, because we don't have sand here. We have snow here. I am a big fan of the Olympics. Anybody else there with me? Thank you. Yeah, some of you. Man, I all of it. I love it all. Even the weird, crazy things that, like the guys with the skis that shoot the guns, that's really cool to me. It's all fantastic. And you guys need to pray for my family, because they're like, Dad, how many times do we have to watch a guy go down the hill on the, like, as many times as it takes? I don't know. Like, we got to do this. We got to watch it all. In fact, today is the last day. The Paralympics wraps up today. In case you were wondering, you got one more chance to jump on it today and see some competition. I love it. It's fantastic, because, like, I used to really get all fired up and want to cheer for Team USA, and I still do, for sure. But now I love the competition just all the way around. It doesn't matter who's competing. In fact, to start the season off this year, it was women's speed skating. I don't know if any of you guys saw this. It was the coolest thing. Like, the first event that I watched, women's speed skating. So they're in Italy, and there's this gal, the speed skater from Italy. So she's on her home turf. She's a mom. She's like 10 years older than everybody else in the field. She's not supposed to even really do much of anything. It's kind of her last hurrah there. And so, you know where the story's going, because, and I watched it unfold in front of me. It was the coolest thing in the world, because here she goes. She's off and skating, and she gets around that last corner there, and you could see it in her face. She's going to win this thing. Like, it was just that determination. Like, you saw it, and I was like, oh man. And like, the drama's building, and I'm like, oh my goodness, things are about to happen here, and the crowd's going nuts, and everybody's going nuts. And she lays it out, and she wins the gold, and the place is just going bonkers. Her husband's there, her little boy's there, and it's just incredible. I love that kind of stuff, because it inspires me. Why? Because a mom that's too old to be doing something like that does it? Yeah, absolutely. Like, it inspires me because when you start looking at these athletes and the grit and determination, the resources that they pour into what they're doing, I mean, it is just this massive commitment to excellence that is just, it's fun to watch. And so you see the joy of when it pays off well. You see the pain and the anguish of when it's you know, you're supposed to be I'm the guy who wins the gold every time, and you don't do so well. And so you watch all that play out, and it's awesome, because it makes me want to be that way, right? Now, I know I'm never going to win a gold medal in the men's half pipe. Probably not. In fact, I don't even want to be in a half pipe. But I can take that same type of thing, and I can apply it to my life. I can bring that same grit and determination and discipline into my home, into my relationships, into my workplace, into my relationship with God. I can put that stuff into practice. And so that's why I want us to talk about spiritual disciplines. Because there's a part of this thing that I think we forget sometimes. Like, we know the physical, right? And so I'll maybe laugh about that a little bit today. If you've ever been to the gym for the first time in a long time and you can't walk the next day, you know what I'm talking about. There's the mental discipline, and so that's fun too, because I've said this to a bunch of you in here, that you come up to me and tell me something on a Sunday, and I just tell you straight out, like, my Sunday brain and Monday brain don't talk to each other. Why? Because my mental discipline, somewhere in there, I have got to figure something out. My Sunday brain and Monday brain don't talk to each other. But there's the mental discipline of, am I learning things? Am I growing? Am I putting into practice good habits in my life that bring about fruit, physically, mentally, spiritually? Like, it's an important part of our life. And taking care of your body is great. Taking care of your mind is great. But too often we forget to nurture our soul. And so I would remind you, because there's a reason that we should. And that reason is, I remember, I am confronted by the fact that I was broken and I was dead in my sins. All of us were. I owed a debt to God that I could not pay. The Bible's so very clear about that. That's, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are separated from God. But in his infinite mercy to us, He makes a way for us to be reconciled back to Him, that we can know Him, we can be in His presence, we can spend eternity with Him in heaven. And He sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross for you and I to pay that penalty of our sins. And Jesus didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rises from the grave, providing victory over sin, death, the grave, guilt, all those things. And He offers that eternal life to me and to you. The Bible tells us in Romans, I'll kind of poke fun at Romans. We're going to read several passages from Romans today because we haven't been in Romans for like a whole week, so we might as well, right? But the Bible tells us clearly that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And there's an amount of power that's in the gospel. Like it matters, it means something. If you take that and you believe it in your life, that it's good news. It's good for me. I am no longer far from God. I am no longer His enemy. In fact, He calls me His child. I'm no longer a slave to the sin that just wears on me. I'm free from that. It no longer has a hold on me. I'm free from guilt and shame. How many of us in here today still carry guilt around with us? Like it's so easy for the evil one to come whisper in your ear, "Hey, don't forget when," and that guilt just comes over us. Man, you're free from that if you're in Christ. I'm free from that. I now get to measure up to God's holy standard. He looks at me positionally and says things about me that are, I'm righteous. I have a new identity. The whole part of who I am is new because of what the gospel says about me. Look at this verse. This is awesome. Paul would say to us, "For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." This life that I have is not, it's not the same. It's different. And pay attention to the significance in that verse because something dies in that verse. My old self gets put on the cross and gets crucified with Christ. How does that happen? I don't know. I don't care. I just believe it. That old me is dead. My old sinful self is crucified. And when Jesus rises from the grave, I rise with Him. And because that is now my life, His life is now my life. Again, Paul would call out to us and say, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. Right? So we used to pay attention to each other in the flesh, and we still do. Like, we judge each other by that. Like, I pay attention to what you do, and I judge you by your actions, and I judge you. But all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, stop doing that. Because therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed, and behold, the new has come. Like, there is something new about me. The old crucified with Christ, something new has happened to me. So there's a transformation as I think about being a new creation in Christ. There's a transformation that takes place. And God was so awesome to give us the butterfly and the caterpillar as an example of that. There is not a cooler example on the planet. Because you take a caterpillar and it's kind of inching along it's slow and steady on the branch, and it goes and it eats the thing. And then you take a butterfly, almost the complete opposite, flying and fluttering in the air and going all over the place. And so if you were to put those two creatures side by side and not tell somebody and go, "That's the same creature, that's the same insect," you go, "There's no way. There's absolutely no way that and that is the same. It can't be done." But yet there's this transformation that happens in the middle there. This thing, this old thing dies, and it becomes something incredibly new. It's awesome. But think about it for a second. What would it look like if all of a sudden we walked outside today and we walked outside and all along the grass there's there's beautiful butterflies everywhere walking around on the ground. And you go walking through them and they don't fly anywhere. They're just kind of going along real slow. You'd be like, that's not what butterflies don't do that. That's not right. Butterflies fly. Like they fly and they land on you for a second. And you're like, wow. And then they fly away again. And you're like, oh, that's beautiful. And so sometimes I think that's us in our life. I am a new creation in Christ, and yet I fall right back into the same inching along on the ground, not paying attention, not being who God's called me to be. I miss that. And so that's why this idea of you and I continuing to embrace who God has called us to be, disciplining ourselves to learn that and know that and understand it and put it to practice into our life. Because I'm not that old person. The Bible over and over and over again calls me a saint. Like over and over again. Because that's exactly how God sees me, as a saint. Now you ask my wife, and she'll tell you that's not really the word she uses for me very often. Or my kids. Why? Because I live in a shell of a body that I get so fixated on my own sinful habits. Like I find myself over and over again falling back into the same patterns that I had. And because what happens is I learn to meet my needs outside of God. That's what sin is. That's what got Adam and Eve in trouble in the first place. And that's what you and I do. Like I find this way of meeting, God, I don't need you. I'll meet my needs on my own. It's fine. Don't worry about it, God. I got it. And so we do things apart from him. And so thankfully, God in his merciful, glorious self sees me and looks down and sees me robed in the righteousness of Christ. And so I struggle to meet up with that. So let's go to Romans here, because why not, right? One of my favorite passages that we I love that there's a lot on that screen, because it's stressful and it's overwhelming. And I think this passage is stressful and overwhelming. But it's such a beautiful picture of our life. I mean, here's what Paul, in just, I think, a beautiful moment of transparency and vulnerability, I think he writes this down, and I'm like, yeah, Paul, I get it. I understand. He says, for I do not understand my own actions. Have you ever said that? Why in the world did I just do that? Why on earth did I say that? I do not understand my own actions. I'm such a knucklehead. Why did I do that? Thank you, Paul. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. In other words, that I'm a slave to it. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, in that old self that was crucified. There's nothing good that dwells in that. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who does it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Man, that is so true. And Paul would go on to say, oh, what a wretched man that I am. Like, why in the world do I find myself doing this? Who will save me? Jesus will save you. Yes, he did save me. And he keeps right on just bringing that about in my life and making that a reality for me as I live it each and every day. I have this battle raging inside of me. And maybe if you've got it figured out, maybe let's talk, right? Maybe you can tell me what I'm doing wrong, because I feel this. I feel this battle raging inside of me. Deep inside of me, because of God's Spirit, I want to do what is right. And yet I find myself in these moments going, why in the world did I do that? What is going on? And so I think that's why the first issue of our identity is so important. Like what you believe about yourself is so important. Because my actions are deeply rooted in what I really believe to be true about me. Now think about that for a second. What do you really believe about yourself? Because out of that is going to flow a motivation that's going to lead you to action and what you do. I mean, Paul, again, very practical. Romans 12, he talks about transformation. And how does he say do it? Do it by renewing your mind. You've got to change the way you see yourself. You've got to change the way you see God. You've got to change the way you have to change the way you believe God sees you. That's so important. And if you've got that, if you've got a handle on that, man, it makes living life a whole lot smoother. Because God's Spirit is working inside of you. What I believe God says about me is the catalyst for my actions and my ability to change those actions. So look at the habits that you formed in your life. They affirm what you believe to be true because you wouldn't practice that behavior over and over again if you didn't believe it. Right? I brush my teeth every day. Why? Because some dentist told me to do it? No. Because I know that if I don't brush my teeth, my wife's not going to give me a kiss. If my dentist is in here today, it's because I believe you. But seriously, I do actions like that every single day. Why? Because I believe something to be true about them. Like, so if you convinced me that I would be better looking if I stood on my head for 30 minutes a day, you'd find me standing on my head 30 minutes a day. I mean, we all do it. We grab hold and believe something, and then we start changing our actions. And so I'm never going to change my actions until I get a handle on my motivations. And I won't change my motivations until I embrace what I believe. And if you've never embraced the truth of the gospel in your life, let me share it with you one more time, quickly. The truth is, the honest truth is, that God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. You are loved, you are forgiven, you are accepted, you are counted as holy and set apart when you are in Christ. That is a free invitation to you. That is a free gift to you. There's nothing you do on your own to win that or merit that. It is free from God. And so if you allow that truth to become something that you believe and something that motivates you to let your actions bear out the same thing, I believe that. And now I'm motivated to go live that. And that's where these spiritual disciplines come in. So if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, my guess is that somewhere in there you desire to produce some fruit that is pleasing to God. That's what God's Spirit does inside of us. Again, acknowledging with Paul, agreeing with him that there's a battle that's raging inside of us. But nonetheless, I want to produce fruit. So here's a good list of that from Scripture. Chapter 5 from Galatians. This is the type of fruit that it talks about. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And Paul would go on to say, against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I've crucified my selfish passions and desires, and now I'm living like that. I'm living love and joy. So what does that look like in your life? Like, ask yourself that. Are these the things that are showing up in your day-to-day actions? Are you leaning into being a person of joy instead of being a person that's constantly focused on the bad? Are you leaning into being a person that's full of love instead of somebody who's quick to be angry? Like, let God's Spirit work on you in that way. Is there a gentleness that's inside of you? Or do you wake up feeling violent? Is there a gentleness that happens? Are you faithful? Boy, there's a great one there. What does faithful mean? Faithful means when no one's looking, I'm still doing what's right. When it's easy for me to do whatever I want, I'm still being faithful. Is there a measure of self-control? All of those things. Like, look at those things in your life because there's two types of fruit here. One type of fruit is growing towards Jesus and producing like this. The other type of fruit is leading to destruction. And there's not like a middle ground. You're either growing to be more like Jesus or you're not. And the other side of that is corruption and destruction. And so I would say to you that it's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy because I have developed a very effective way. I've said it earlier. I've developed a very effective way of meeting my own needs in my life. They may be sinful ways, but they get the job done. They may have a consequence somewhere down the line, but at least in the moment, I can justify it. And it's hard to make that change. And that's why I love the Olympics. I don't wake up one day and go, you know what, I'm going to go win a gold medal this weekend. You don't do that. It's training. It's hard work. It's putting the effort into it. Jesus in Mark chapter 10 makes the statement that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And so what he's saying has nothing to do with being rich or poor. It has everything to do with whether or not I recognize I have a need or not. So when I find myself in great comfort, I don't have need for anything else. I got everything figured out. And so it's difficult for a person like that has everything figured out. God, I don't need you. Ooh, that's tough. And so when I'm really comfortable, I don't want to work at something else. When things are easy, I don't want to go do something hard. It doesn't matter if those ways are harmful or not. And so we get into this idea of what does sin look like in my life, especially when I can justify sin that it's not really hurting anybody else, right? So I don't know. I mean, I could start listing them, but you know what I'm talking about. It's the stuff that we go, yeah, I can do this, and no one else knows. This is a great verse right here. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Now, think about that for a second. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption or destruction. And the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. It's a true statement. And then I love this next verse. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. I feel like I could stop right there and let's do an invitation. Let's just pray for each other. Because I don't know if you're like me, but I get tired of doing good sometimes. I mean, honestly, this world is terrible. And people are mean. And life is hard. And there's times I want to quit. I don't want to do it. Man, thank you, Paul. Thank you for writing that. Don't grow weary of doing good. Just hang in there. In due season, you will reap if you don't give up. So then, as we have this opportunity in front of us, this opportunity is right here in front of every one of us. Let us do good to everyone, and especially to each other in this room, those who are of the faith. Do good to everybody. But look out for each other. Like, take advantage of those moments and do that. And I would remind you that God's not messing around here. You don't get to go through life being selfish and it not cost something. It costs something. We don't justify sin and walk away from the consequences. They follow us. God is not going to be mocked in that way. That sin that's done in secret that you think won't hurt anyone hurts someone always, every time, even if it's just you. That's its job. James would point out to us that sin, when it's run its course, brings about death. It always kills something. It'll kill a relationship. It'll kill a friendship. It'll kill something. That's what sin does. So while we have this opportunity that is in front of us, let's do good to each other. And so I would say it's not easy to start off on a path that you've not done before or haven't done in a long time. So getting back to the disciplines here, it's like going to the gym and working out for the first time in forever, right? So many of you remember Pastor Jeff Martell that was on staff here that passed away just a couple years ago. Man, I love that man. I miss him every day. So Jeff loved to work out. I mean, he had some big old muscles, and he loved to exercise, loved to work out. And if you spent any time around him, he wanted you to love it just as much as he loved it. And so he'd be like, hey, come over to the house and work out with me. And so, you know, we'd go over some. And so he got our staff together one time, on some of us and said, hey, if I bring some stuff into the church and we work out in here, anybody want to work out? And so there's a handful of like, yeah, we'll work out. That sounds good. So I'll never forget the day. It was fantastic. We go into the atrium. We, you know, brought clothes to change into, so people change in. So we go into the atrium there. We push some of the tables out of the way. And this was the first day. And Jeff goes, okay, so today we're going to do, I don't know if it was 100 or 150, but let's say it just 100. All we're going to do today is 100 burpees. Now, if you don't know what a burpee is, they don't sound that bad. So back in high school football for me, we called them up-downs. But you just kind of jump down on the ground, and then you push yourself back up, and you do a little hop at the end. Not too bad, right? And if you think it's not too bad, go home and do 100 of them, and let me know how it works out for you. And so we're going to do 100 burpees. And so that's all we're going to do. Okay, that's not too bad. And I get about a dozen in, and I'm like, I'm done. Like, this is crazy. Well, we had one person on our staff at the time. I won't tell you his or her name, but I will tell you, she has no quit in her at all. None. She's awesome. She did every one of those things. And we were all like, oh my gosh. And then the next day, I'm pretty sure she called in sick. Because she couldn't get out of bed. Right? I mean, it's just... Because everything hurts. And think about it too. Like, when was the last time? You go to a gym. And so, okay, you're going to make the commitment. It's January 1st, and we're going to get in shape this year. We're going to go to a gym. So you go to the gym, you pay the money, you walk into the gym, and you're instantly intimidated because there's all these fit people, right? And they're wearing the tank tops, and they got the muscles, and there's the mirrors. And so, oh my gosh, now I have to see that they can see that they're fit, and they can see that I'm not fit, and so I'm just intimidated by these people. And then there's all these machines and treadmills and weights and stuff, and I don't even know where to begin. I don't know what to do. So I'm like, do you guys have a vending machine? I know how that works. I'll get a Coke and a donut and sit over here and watch these guys work out. So it's super intimidating when you go into that. And so what do? You end up finding the treadmill over there kind of in the corner, and you just walk on the treadmill for a while you watch the TV. And then you go home, and your spouse is like, how was the workout? Ah, it was fine, I guess. Are you going to go back tomorrow? I don't want to. It's scary. I'm so sore from walking on the treadmill and watching TV. So think about the same way. Maybe you're new here today. Maybe you haven't been attending here very long, and you walk into a building like this, and it's intimidating. And it's all these things, all these opportunities. Or you walk into that Bible study for the first time, and you see all these people in there, and they've got their massive Bible open, and they've got colors all written in it and all this stuff, and you're like, they're so in shape. I'm so out of shape. It's intimidating. It's a little scary. Like, I want to grow in my faith, but I look around and I go, man, I will never measure up. I'll never measure up to the people around me. And so I think that's a great perspective for all of us to remember. Right? Because there's somebody that walked in maybe today for the first time. And you that have this, you got this stuff figured out. You know it. Hey, come alongside them. Or you invite someone to your Bible study that I don't know. Hey, have you ever heard the story of Noah? Nope, never have. Like that, honestly, that happened to me one time in a Bible study. I'm talking to this kid, he's 20-something. We're talking about, you know, Noah and the ark, and he goes, no, I don't. And I was like, seriously? Like, I thought every kid had some idea of, no, I don't. That's okay. Like, it's okay to not know where to start, right? Because there's a part of it that it takes intentional work. Like, we have to chip away at this. I have to chip away at it in my life, and then I got to look out for you guys around here and go, are we tackling it with each other's life? Are we helping each other? It's the one-year Bible thing. I love doing those. Read through the Bible in a year. I've never done it. Not once. Because every single time I get to a spot and I'll like miss a day because I had a doctor's appointment or something, and then I'll miss another day and I get behind a little bit, and that's not that big of a deal. But then I go on vacation and I miss like a week. because I'm like, oh, I forgot to bring it with me. Oh, well, I'll get it when I get back. And then, like, you miss that much time, and it feels like it's read the Bible in a week because there's so much reading to get caught up on. And so that's that moment where we have the opportunity to do a couple things. One is just quit. It's too much work. This is too intimidating. There's too much work. I don't want to do this. Or we go, maybe this turns into my read the Bible in a year and 2 months plan. That's okay. Or my read the Bible in a year and a half plan. It's okay. The intentional side of this thing is like, I want to get to know God. I want to read His Word. I'm not in some race to get done by December 31st, right? I got to be reminded of why I'm doing this, because God sent His Son to die for me. I'm motivated to get to know Him more. I'm going to put the work in. I'm going to make the changes in my life. I'm going to do something different there. That's why it takes this intentional work, and it takes intentional work for each other to do this together. So open your Bible real quick. We're almost done. Don't panic. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 13. I want you to see there's a cool passage here. There's a parable that Jesus shares that I think is worth us looking at because it's something that we can relate to, like going to the gym and working out. This is a gardener, someone who's going to plant a crop here. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 3, a sower, a gardener, went out to sow some seed. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, but since they had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So in other words, pay attention. And so it starts here for us with an examination of our heart, right? So the soil is the condition of my heart, and the seeds are the Word of God. And so a little further down there, you'll see that Jesus explains the parable, and he gives you four different people and how they hear the Word of God. I want you to look at it today through the eyes of you. And these are four different instances in your life where God is trying to do some work in your life. And so the first time, there is times that God is trying to do something in my life and my heart is hard, meaning I'm not going to listen. I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do, and it doesn't matter what you say to me. I refuse to listen. And so the seeds of goodness of God's Word fall into my life and are quickly just snatched up. And I'm on my path to destruction in that moment. Then there's the second time that God does something in my life and I go, oh, wow, I need to make a change here. And so I step up to make a change and I agree that I need to make a change. And so that seed finds some soil there and it shoots up. And I'm like, great, but I've surrounded myself with rocks, meaning I've surrounded myself with people and sinful habits and things in my life that are keeping that from happening. And so I quickly start paying attention to those things, and those things have such an influence over me. I allow those things to have an influence over me that nothing good grows in my life. And I would say some work needs to be done there for me to remove those rocks out of my soil. Like, what are the things in my life? Hebrews would say, cast aside the things, the sins, the things that are so entangling me and keeping me from growing. And then you've got the last two, and I'm really convinced that I just kind of bounce between these last two soils over and over again, right? Because God's Word comes in, it takes root in my life, and I start to produce some fruit, but weeds start to grow. And if you know anything about weeds, and all of us do, but like weeds will grow anywhere. Somehow I've got a concrete driveway with weeds on it. I don't know how that even works. Weeds grow everywhere. And if you don't mind the weeds, if you don't pay attention to the weeds, if you don't pull them out, they really quickly get out of control. And next thing you know, you can't even tell that you've got fruit growing in there. You can't even tell that there's anything growing in there because all you see are weeds. And so there's a part of this thing that you look at the weeds and go, well, what are the weeds? The weeds are the worries, the fears, the anxieties, the stresses of this life, those things. That if you don't pay attention to those things in your life, they're going to choke out the goodness of what God's trying to do. And I wish I could say, you get to the good soil, and they lived happily ever after. And that's not the way it is. Why? Because weeds grow everywhere. And the anxieties come back. And the fears come back in. And all of a sudden, there's another war. And then there's stress because gas prices are up higher. And then there's one thing after. And so if I don't take care of those things, if I don't mind those weeds and pay attention to the weeds that are in my life, all of a sudden, I'm choking out the fruit that's happening in front of me. And it's not there. You got to be intentional and consistent with your growth. You need people. I would say you need people around you that hold you accountable and will encourage you and challenge you. If you're new here today, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so thankful that you're here. But man, this is just a small fraction of where I would encourage you to be. Worship, corporate worship is awesome. But if you're not engaging in a group, a small group of people that you can challenge and encourage each other, man, you're missing a great opportunity for God's body to help you. I mean, there are opportunities here. We have marriage classes on Wednesday night. You can still jump into that. We have there's tons of opportunities. All kinds of small groups here for you to go and go, I want to learn more. Simple ways for you to get engaged, opportunities to serve. I mean, if you ever wanted to grow in your faith in a pretty simple, basic way, go teach second graders. Why? Because you're teaching very simple, basic stuff to them, and you're learning it as you go along. It's a great way to do that, to sharpen those things. And so I would say, discipleship is the word that we use here, right? And so I want us to hit the gym together. And I don't mean physically. Unless, if you want to go home and do 100 burpees and tell me how that goes, I could get a good chuckle out of it. I'm talking spiritually. Let's start doing the work. Let's start doing the work we need to nurture and care for our soul. Let's do it together. And it's not, I'm going to go fix my garden 100% today and weed all everything out, and it's all, it takes work. It's pulling one weed at a time. Like, let's be consistent and faithful with this thing. It can be a little bit intimidating, but don't be intimidated. It can be a little bit hard, but it's worth the work. It can be frustrating at times because I feel like I'm not getting there. It's so good. Don't grow weary because it's worth it. And so we have this thing that we're doing. You saw it up here earlier. 7 characteristics of Christian growth. Nothing fancy about it. It's a sort of a, I don't even want to call it a curriculum, but we just put some things together. They are spiritual disciplines. And so I'm going to go over those with you next week. We're going to walk through those 7 quickly. And it's just sort of a roadmap for us. If you're a follower of Jesus, and maybe you have been for a long time, hey, it's a roadmap. Go revisit the roadmap. And go, man, how am I doing in these areas? If you're not a follower of Jesus, man, I would remind you, God loves you. He really does, and he wants a relationship with you. And so this would point, they're all 7 of these things are pulled from God's word. They are steeped in God's word. It is an awesome opportunity for you to put some of those things in your life. And so when I say hit the gym, this is the first machine I would push you to. Let's hit this gym together. Let's go do this exercise together. Let's figure out what the 7 characteristics look like of Christian growth, and let's dig into those things together, figure out what that looks like.